It's time for the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast, featuring Jonathan Rakes, Justin Rakes, Alex Huff, and Braden Crow.
Well, what is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. We are getting to that point now where football is starting to take precedent. I know baseball's happening and opening day and all that fun stuff, and there's a few other things. NBA playoffs are happening, but really the NFL draft has started to take a lot of the headlines and conversations. So we are wanting to take some time today to just talk about really what to look for and what to look ahead to in the draft. All right, let's jump to we're at wide receivers. Let's jump to running backs. Why do I always get those mixed up? And doing this one a little bit differently, maybe talking landing spot, because the running back list is a little bit short. Really, you have Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson and Blake Corum-ish. And then it kind of, you got some Braylon Allen in there, but really tails off pretty
who
quick.
Who is y'all's running back one?
For me, it's Jonathan Brooks. Justin, we'll let him give his take at the end. Braden, Alex.
Alex, you go.
I'm in the same boat. It's just so landing spot dependent. It's hard. I want to give a good answer, but if someone goes to Dallas versus, you know, I don't know, being a backup to Derrick Henry.
But landing spot is irrelevant, like just talent-wise.
They both go to the same, all is equal, essentially.
I think Jonathan Brooks.
All the running backs are drafted to the Cowboys.
So I'm surprised that y'all say Jonathan Brooks, because I feel like everyone is saying not Jonathan Brooks. And
what's just like, his injury concern with the ACL?
Everyone's talking about this running back class like this is such a irrelevant running back class. It's not that great. And I'm like, if Jonathan Brooks didn't tear his ACL, I'm wondering if we're having that conversation and if this conversation is not more similar to like a, I'm not going to say like Breece Hall, but closer to that.
Like a Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't know.
Jonathan Brooks didn't tear his ACL, the Texas Longhorns would be hanging a national championship banner in their stadium. I'll go on record with that.
Jonathan Brooks can't play defense against Michael Penix, so it doesn't matter. So
surely he would have broke a screen pass somewhere and got us the points we needed.
I think Brooks, if he had not been injured, this would be a very, very different conversation of running back class.
So it sounds like we're all in agreement on Jonathan Brooks. So Justin, are you going to make it four?
No, I don't think I will. I think I'm liking Jonathan Taylor 2.0, Braylon Allen. That's who I've got my eye on. And in the show docs, y'all did him dirty after Blake Corum saying, really, that's it. And then Braylon Allen after that. So I'll go on record right now saying that he's going to have, you know, the most relevance. So
was it his biceps?
No, it's because he wore the W on his helmet for 4 years and is
W being Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wisconsin. I don't know. I just like his size and his speed. As an Ohio State fan, I was always scared playing Wisconsin because the dude was good. And I think he's NFL ready. I don't know how he's slipping through the cracks, honestly. That's just how I see it.
There you have it. Wisconsin pedigree carries a lot of weight. So flipping back to kind of the team dependence, we talked about the Cowboys already. You know, they're sitting there with Rico Dowdle and maybe a Zeke Elliott reunion.
And with the Chargers. Royce Freeman's son.
They're sitting there with Rico Dowdle and potentially a Zeke Elliott reunion. and then you got the Chargers who have traded away Eckler, Cincinnati, who's traded away Mixon, Giants, who let Saquon walk. Sorry, Chargers didn't trade Eckler, just to clarify. Raiders, who let Jacobs walk. So kind of talking those five teams there, what is the best landing spot for a running back? And which team are you hoping to see? Like, if this team drafted a running back, is there a world where we're drafting a running back in the first round of rookie drafts, or is it still going to be second round? Alex?
Yeah, I think especially the Dallas Cowboys. I would take kind of we talked about really all the names we talked about. I'd add Trey Benson in there. If they go to the Dallas Cowboys, I think we're talking at least the first round of rookie drafts for sure. Even in potentially Superflex.
I mean,
I don't think that's crazy.
I have the Cowboys, Chargers, and the Bengals as first
Yeah.
round landing spots for rookies. Like I would draft them in a dynasty rookie draft. And
Yeah.
it's gotta be like a day two pick though. Like day three, I'm not really thinking a ton of, like I'm not gonna pick a day three Blake Corum to Dallas over a like Xavier Worthy early second round wide receiver. Does that make sense? So if it's a day two, I'm really interested. It's got to be a day two pick, and it's got to be those three teams, and it's got to be enough talent. Like it's got to be a Brooks, Benson, Corum, Allen, Wright, probably. Like those are the running backs I would have to have. I'm not just gonna pick a running back in the first round of a rookie draft if I don't
All
love
I'm gonna
talent redraft.
say, all I'm gonna say is Blake Corum better go somewhere with a really good offensive line because he needs those 2 yard touchdowns. That's all he ever got in college. So
Except for like that 80-yard one he got in the national championship.
that didn't happen. Did it?
Yeah.
I'm checking right now. I don't think that happened. I think his longest was like 20 last year.
That's also not true. Justin has a lot of he's trying to
I've got
separate his
scars, okay?
he's trying to
3 years.
separate his fandom, but let's be honest, I don't do a great job with the Lions, so it's a
At
race
least
thing.
yours is NFL. Mine's diehard college football.
There's no correlation. In this mock, I know this is not a Mel Kiper podcast, but Blake Corum to the Bengals in the third round. So Blake Corum to the Bengals, or well, we already said we take Brooks, but Brooks to the Cowboys over. You take Brooks to the Cowboys over Corum to the Bengals.
Sounds like
Yes.
Brooks needs to go to the
Yep.
Cowboys.
Brooks. I mean,
I
that's a reunion.
Here's the thing. I if they're both second round picks, or so yeah, if they're both second round picks and Brooks goes to the Bengals and Corum goes to the Cowboys, I am confident enough in the talent disparity there that I would take Brooks over Corum on the Bengals than Blake Corum on the Cowboys, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I'll add a caveat too. Like I know generally anybody in the fantasy football space will talk about second day two and day three picks. And I totally agree with that, like bringing your point. I think this draft is maybe a little bit different in the fact that there's not a couple big names at the top that skew that to where even if it's a day three, but we have say you just make them all even, Cowboys, Chargers, and Bengals all go day three, but they're the top running backs in the draft. I just think that we kind of just shift the landscape
Sure,
there, if that makes sense. So it's like in a world where we have Jonathan Taylors and Breece Halls going early, like I agree. But in this one, if it's the top, the second prospect overall in the draft, I'm still to a landing spot where they're immediately a starter or immediately relevant, even with the capital, at least for 1 year. I think I would make an exception this year relative to other years, just from a draft prospect perspective.
sure. If the market doesn't start until day three, then yeah, or at the end of day two, like at the very end of round three, absolutely, yeah, I totally agree.
So then those were kind of the landing spots you get excited for, the Cowboys, Chargers, Cincinnati. Then you're looking at the teams like the Giants, Raiders, Patriots, Cardinals, Panthers, Browns. Browns is kind of an interesting one just because you got Chubb coming back. And I don't know that did they re-sign Jerome Ford too? I don't know that would be
Yeah, he
more of
still
like
is on
a
his rookie deal. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be more of maybe a long play there. But we also know Cleveland just loves to run the ball. So I would say for me, out of those that I just said, I'm probably looking at it's kind of a little bit of a shock, but New England, just because, I mean, Gerard Mayo is kind of revamping that. And I think that his mentality is going to be similar to a lot of what you've seen the past couple of years of kind of build more of that core. So I think you're going to have a lot more Because at that point, you're looking for, correct me if I'm wrong, but just carries, somebody that's going to get a lot of the workload. I don't know that we have really any three down backs in this draft. And so you're, again, like you said, you're probably not spending a high pick on it. But if you see somebody go to New England, you're sitting there in redraft later looking to maybe get a second or third bench spot, take a flyer. I don't hate that New England landing spot. Arizona and Carolina, there's just a lot of disparity there for me.
I really don't mind Arizona. I think that James Conner, like James Conner's in the conversation with any other aging running back of, are we even talking about James Conner this time next year? And I don't know if the answer is yes. And so it seems like it's a team trending in the right direction. I'm super open to the idea of Arizona. And I'm open to the Raiders. I mean, you want to talk about ambiguous backfields. It's Zamir White, who never can catch the ball, and Madison, who lost his job to Ty Chandler. Like, I'm open to the Raiders too. So I think these are all decent spots. But yeah, I mean, the way the NFL's headed is it's just going to be a lot of committees in backfields. And so if any back who can profile that can get on the goal line and can score from 2 or 3 yards out is that's a level up in fantasy. And any running back who profiles as a pass catcher and pass blocker, that levels you up in fantasy. And so that's why I have Brooks higher. I mean, he can do those things. You know, I think that Benson's going to be in a timeshare. He was in a timeshare at Florida State. I think that Corum is going to be in a timeshare. He was in a timeshare at Michigan. I mean, to Justin's point, I think Braylon Allen is probably also profiles as a three down back. He's not as good of a pass catcher and pass blocker as Brooks is, but that doesn't mean he can't get there. So, I mean, I agree with you, Justin. I think that he definitely has a chance to be a low end RB1 if things hit right.
Thank you. I'll take it.
The more I think about this, though, the more I'm like, I think if Jonathan Brooks goes to the Cowboys in that early second round, he's going to be drafted much higher than any other running back just from his potential there. But probably to the point that his ADP might get a little overdrafted just because of where he was trending with his ACL. But all right, so we've talked running backs, we've talked wide receivers. Really, the other big, really, we talked tight ends because we mentioned Brock Bowers. And to our point earlier, he's really the tight end, and really more just talk about his pass catcher just because of what he can do. But let's finish up with the quarterbacks. And I know in our history on this podcast, you know, we've taken some pretty bold quarterback takes. Some have come out flowerier than others, you know, and somehow they always seem to be tied to the 49ers, but mentioning Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. But let's just go ahead and go on record and talk about, with this quarterback class, those top four, really, because we're talking Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy is like what we're going to assume. So let's talk about those, and then we'll talk about kind of the other ones there. But of those four, who, and I know Caleb Williams is far and away kind of viewed as the most fantasy relevant, but is Caleb Williams really that dominant over them? Or is there any value in, you know, getting a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May or even a JJ McCarthy late in a rookie draft, or, you know, with that landing spot? Does that play into those roles at all? Alex?
Yeah, I think to answer one of the questions you posed there, I think Caleb Williams is...
Sorry, that was like 12 questions. Yeah, so thank you.
I think Caleb Williams definitely is the prospect to have here. I mean, I think he's worth, you know, especially in a Superflex, the 101 and Dynasty Superflex drafts. I think outside of that, I don't want to sound like I'm saying the same thing for every position group. It's a little bit landing spot dependent. I think the one that I'm not as worried about, that I'm at least on my boards, is the clear number two, possibly regardless of landing spot, whether he goes to Washington or New England or wherever, for at least fantasy, I think is Jaden McDaniels. And that's just to me because he is skilled through the air, but he also has some rushing ability, and I just don't see Drake May. I mean, Drake May does have at least some ability to scramble and get yards on the ground. I don't see that with J.J. McCarthy at all. We could probably talk about Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix in that regard too. But I think Jaden McDaniels is probably the clear lock if you don't have the capital to go get Caleb Williams for fantasy. I think Jaden Daniels is probably the next guy I would at least be targeting.
Braden, I'll just kind of pose a little different question to you and then let Justin and I kind of wrap this up. But when I'm thinking about these quarterbacks, Caleb Williams obviously has a great supporting cast. They've really set him up, and if they draft Rome Odunze, you're like, man, those are some weapons. But outside of that, really, if J.J. McCarthy does go to the Vikings, he's got the next best weapons. Does that mean anything in the conversation with Jaden Daniels and Drake May from a fantasy perspective? Because you're talking Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson versus, what is it, Hunter Henry, and I didn't even know who their wide receiver one is in New England, and Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas. So that for me is pretty eye-opening.
Yeah. So specifically with McCarthy. So the thing with McCarthy is he may be a fine NFL quarterback. I can't think of a time that I will like be excited to ever like have him as my week in, week out starter in fantasy football, even if he goes to the Vikings, because he hasn't played like a fantasy star. And he, like, whenever he's called upon, he's good. You know, I mean, Michigan ran the heck out of the ball. And so instead of throwing 40 or 50 times a game like Penix, he's throwing the ball, you know, 20 times a game. And, you know, he hit 14 or 15 of those, and that's great. You know, he did what he was called to do at the right time. And so I think he's good. Do I think he's going to be like a fantasy game changer? I just don't see it. And so, you know, May scares me too. I, as a Cowboys fan, I hope the Commanders take Drake May, because I don't think they can develop him. I don't think that they can protect him. And, you know, he's built like Herbert. I don't think he's as talented as Herbert. And so for me, like,
boy, you kind of look like a Herbert.
the list for me is Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. They will be fantasy starters. Drake May, something's got to give. McCarthy, honestly, for the sake of fantasy, like, if he gets to Minnesota and they get him to throw 40 or 50 times a game like Kirk Cousins was doing, like, okay, like, let's have that conversation and see where this goes. But I don't see that happening. I can't believe that we're talking about J.J. McCarthy in this conversation. Like, if you want to talk about skill and ability, I think that, like, you can't tell me that Michigan won the national championship on the back of J.J. McCarthy. Like, if you put Penix in a Michigan uniform, or even Bo Nix in a Michigan uniform, like,
he just feels like Zach Wilson, a Josh Rosen.
He's a game manager.
Yes.
And
don't turn the ball over. That's all they asked of him. And then they ran it.
You know, it's not to the same scale. And we were all like really little whenever this happened, but like, it almost reminds me of like Matt Leinart senior season. Like, he was not a game breaker senior season. Everything revolved around Reggie Bush and Lindell White, and the offense ran through them. And, you know, they had a great year. You know, they ended up losing to Texas, but, you know, Leinart was not the focal point of that offense. He was the leader, but he wasn't the focal point. I think that's the same thing of what happened at Michigan.
Justin, so based on this conversation, I'm about to drop a bomb, so I'm going to preface Justin.
I'm about to drop a bomb.
Okay, Justin, drop your bomb. Let's. I don't even ask a question. Just continue the conversation.
I say bomb, and I would say hot take. I think it's more of a warm take because we're pretty set on Jaden Daniels. You got me messed up, Huff. You were saying McDaniels. Jaden Daniels at two. But I think he's the one in this quarterback class. I don't think Caleb Williams is far and away, you know, the guy. I think his talent is definitely there. But I think he's an experiment. I don't know that we've seen a quarterback in recent years that's had as many external factors coming into the NFL, just with the drama. And I don't know, I feel like he's more set on social media than really winning football games. But I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the best quarterback in this draft class. And then to the JJ McCarthy point, I'm with you, Braden. I don't know what night it was that we went to bed and woke up and he was in the top four conversation, because it's like he wasn't. And then he was. I guess he had a great pro day. I don't know. But he threw a lot of Zach Wilson pro day throws is what I saw. And we know how that panned out.
I really did not think that you were going to go that hot with that take, because I think that is a hot off the press and a little bit lunatic a take. But mine is about to be as well. So that's what you get with the Rates Bros. To your point, though, with Caleb Williams, I too have seen lots of drama, but we're talking fantasy football here. Like, the dude put up numbers at USC, and he's got a great supporting cast.
He did.
He put up numbers this last year too.
They weren't the same. It didn't have the same feel for me.
We're talking fantasy. Can he be a top 10 fantasy quarterback with those things? And he absolutely can. And Jaden Daniels puts up video game numbers. So health is my biggest concern with him and just being in the NFL. But I'm going to go ahead and just keep, you know, this hot take going. I'm going to say McCarthy is going to be the second best fantasy quarterback in this year's draft to Caleb Williams. If he goes to the Minnesota Vikings, I think that he is going to have the second best year from a fantasy perspective, all things equal, starters. So,
Pause. I don't disagree that as a rookie he may, like, I think that's definitely possible, but let's Drake talk may. About stop. I think that, like, let's look at career as a whole. Do you think that McCarthy will have the second best career? Because
Jaden Daniels isn't built to last in the NFL.
Lamar Jackson, but bigger.
So
taller, am I wrong? Taller, am maybe, I wrong? But he's not. He does not weigh as much as Lamar Jackson.
But so you're saying, though, that if McCarthy goes to the Minnesota Vikings that have a first-round tight end, a first-round wide receiver, and another first-round wide receiver that's the best wide receiver in the game, that he'll be the second-best quarterback this year in out of these rookies? Because I don't disagree. But
yeah, well, that was my point about his Vikings landing spots. That's why he's getting so much hype. Now, if he goes to Denver, like, pull at 12, absolutely not. Like, I'm off. But I think there's no way, like, scouts have been doing this for a long time. And for him to be getting fourth overall comps and then to pair him with that kind of talent, like, we're crazy to just think he's, like, this game manager and not going to be relevant.
Like, Mac Jones.
Mac Jones was not taken top five, though. Trey Lance
was. But he was mocked, too. He was mocked to go top five.
Trey Lance was not paired with Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Jordan Addison. So, and not with
with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. Well,
I'm speechless.
I'm just saying the anti-argument, because Mac Jones was mocked, who just came off of a national championship, was mocked to go top five in the NFL draft. And he didn't. He slipped. But we thought, oh, this would be a fine landing spot, and he's going to be developed. And
you're just different, though, when you're talking. It's just different to me when you're talking Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson, even over. I think TJ Hawkinson is a better tight end than George Kittle, and I think Justin Jefferson's way better than Deebo Samuel from a pass catching. Like, Deebo Samuel is not, he is a electric player, but is he making Watt quarterbacks better? Is not like Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's catch radius is stupid. So
I don't disagree. It's not going to be.
How do you start talking about wide receivers?
Because we're talking about McCarthy, and he was talking about Trey Lance. Oh, because Trey Lance went third overall. That is a great counter argument. But, you know, what are we if we're not taking hot takes? So, are there any other quarterbacks that are worth noting? I know Penix and Nix are Penix and Nix, Nix and Penix, talked about kind of in that early second round, but I don't know that they're going to be starters. I think they're more viewed as, you know, backups for at least this first year.
So where I'm at is I think that Penix has an outside shot at being like a starter in the NFL, but I think that if he can be, then he will be electric. With Nix, I'm going to be really, really sad if he goes somewhere that has a really bad front office or a really bad coaching staff that can't develop him. Like, I think that if Nix did go to Denver in the second round, you know, it's like, would he beat out Stidham in the first 2-3 games? I don't think so. But if there's any, if there is any coach who I would feel safe developing Nix, I mean, Nix has great leadership capability. He has tons of experience. You know, seems like he really does have a good head on his shoulders. Like, I think that he could be really good at a place that could develop him and give him time. But I, if Nix like ended up in a firestorm of an organization, I don't think he has even a fighting chance.
Yeah.
I like that take. I think Nix can be relevant for sure in the right situation. Also, Jonathan, Caleb Williams' numbers dropped by 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns this last year.
I didn't say that they weren't less, but when you look at completion percentages and you look at just the team in general, like, yeah, there's going to be a drop, but he still put up numbers.
Jaden Daniels, all I'm going to say.
And you'll be wrong. Alex, you got any other thoughts to carry us out of here?
I don't know.
We've gone off the rails, as we always do. That's going to do it for this episode of the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Again, if you haven't liked or subscribed to the podcast, we'll be coming out more regularly as we get to the season. We're going to put out something after the draft. Kind of all these takes may be irrelevant because of different changes and what transpires. But this is just purely theoretical. So thanks for joining us. Until next time, we are the Average Pros. See ya.
Your time is valuable, and we thank you for sharing a little of it with the Average Pros. For more clear, concise, and competitive analysis, be sure to follow us on X and Instagram at Average Pros FF. That's at Average Pros FF. Production by Jonathan Raines. Editing by Justin Raines. Voiceover by Ben Johnson. Music by Josh Lippi and the Overtimers. We'll catch you at the next one.